You're listening to Tucson Business Radio X. And now with Josh Gruber, here's Weeding Out Business, a program that tells it like it is. If you want to be successful on Business Radio X, here's Josh.
What's up, everybody? Josh Gruber here, Weeding Out Business. We're here at the studio, Stuart Title offices on Broadway in Tucson, Arizona. It's Thursday, March 7th. We got a cool guy in the show today. A guy that I think his business model and mine are very, very similar, and they're not anything alike in a sense. Our businesses are really nothing alike. They work together and we help each other out in a sense. But you know, how could you say that your landscaping business is just like a real estate company, you know, or a realtor's endeavors? And I'll say, well, it's all about marketing, right? And the guy we have here is Scott Meldy. That real estate guy. Is that right?
Yep.
Awesome, man.
You got it right.
Thanks for coming on, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet, man. So what I'm getting at is I met Scott through Facebook. You know, his real estate Facebook page popped up on my thing, that real estate guy. So I liked it because, you know, we want to get with all realtors and,
sure,
and you know, be a person in their phone that they can call on to, you know, have us come out and get their houses looking ready for sale or whatever it would be. And, you know, thanks for accepting. And, you know, we've done a few jobs together and, you know, thank you for that. So let's dive into this, man.
Let's do it.
You're a young dad.
Yes. You know,
we're both young dads, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your family.
Yeah. So I have my wife, Nicole. And then I have two boys right now, Oliver and Theo, and then I got one more coming.
One more.
Yeah. One more boy. So I have three boys total.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're from Michigan.
Yeah. I was born in Michigan. Both my parents went to U of A though. So, my dad's first job was out in Michigan. That's where I was born. When I was seven, you know, their goal was always to come back here. So when they had the opportunity to come back here, they came back here. And that was in 97 when U of A won the championship.
Right.
So good year.
That's
I
a
guess,
good year.
You know, you could say it's because we came back. But, you know, I've been here ever since and I don't think I'm ever leaving. So
when did you come back? Do you remember the month? Because I'll call you out. It may not have been because of you. If it was May, it wasn't because of you, man.
No, I know. I see. I don't remember the month, but I can.
But you're
it's
sad.
Definitely because of us.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was a good year. You'd think that there would be, you know, more with all the hype each year of U of A. So where did you go to school in town?
Let's see. So Fruchtendler for elementary school, Townsend for middle school, and then Sabino for high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you play sports?
Yeah, played basketball in high school. Still play basketball. Play in a YMCA league, men's league, now down at the Otway on the east side.
Okay. So you're 29. You don't know my cousin, Trevor Jackson. He went to Sabino. He was a soccer player.
No,
redheaded guy.
I don't think so. No.
Anyway. So yeah, man, they, you know, this show that we host, you know, once a month, we've been doing it now for, you know, 8 months. We just bring on people that pretty much are responsible for their own income.
Sure.
A few guys have been on that have jobs and, you know, their sales, you know, they do sales for that company or whatever, but we just like to talk and, you know, hear about your story, you know, like what are things that you think that are like awesome that you found out that you didn't know when you started, you know, stuff like that. What are some decisions that you wish you could have made back, you know, a year ago that mm-hmm. you know that you didn't? And you know, do you have anything that comes to mind lately on the subject of, like, you know, cool things of you were saying about the people from Michigan? I think that's a pretty cool result of your social media.
Sure.
You know, what do you want to call it? Impression on the world.
Sure.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So, well, I came from a sales world before I got into real estate. Sales people, worked at the Ritz, was one of the managers of the valet out there. Then I went to a local alarm company here. So selling door-to-door alarms for them, selling to businesses around town, things like that. So I had that business and people relationship kind of already ingrained in me.
Right.
And then was recruited by Kay Watanabe of the Property Partners. He runs the Property Partners team here and one of the top remodel teams as well, to come work for him. I had that business relationship with him with the alarms, and he saw that potential and got me over. So I think, you know, real estate school doesn't teach you really anything about real estate. It teaches you to pass the test.
Right.
So I think I got the best advice was to join a team in the beginning, and that's what I did, you know, with Kay, and I'm still on the team. But if I give any advice to a new agent or somebody thinking about real estate, is to join a team, whether that's for 6 months, for a year, or for the rest of their real estate career. Joining a team just really gets you around people who have done it for a long time and kind of skips those learning steps and the learning curve a little bit, kind of gets you up there to have people around you that can have been in it, you know, have seen the mistakes, have found the solutions for certain problems. And it kind of just gets you basically out there running right away.
Right.
You know, see a lot of real estate agents that are on their own trying to jump up their own business. It just takes a while. It takes a while to get your first paycheck because they got to close on the house. It's not instant when you get a client you get a paycheck.
Right.
So when you have a team that's generating leads for you that can help you get those transactions, get you all the way through, that's the biggest thing that I've learned, is to surround yourself with a good team.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, from like the last signature, how long does it take to get paid?
Well, you get paid that day they close, but, you know, I mean, my first client, one of the first clients I got with the team, I mean, it took 8 months before they found the right home.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't have other, you know, in the meantime, I closed stuff in between, but they were the first ones I started talking to.
Right.
I mean, that was in February. They didn't close till August.
Yeah.
So imagine if I'm out there on my own, and I only had one client. I mean, what are you doing for 6 months? You know,
right.
How are you going to get an income? Luckily, I had other leads coming in, but I mean, it can take, I mean, you can show somebody one house and they fall in love, but still 30 days before you get a paycheck,
right?
You know, for that deal.
Yep.
So you still got to get through the stuff in between get there to the end.
You know, it's cool. I used to work at the Ritz-Carlton too. I was at the golf course.
Sure.
I helped build it in 07. Before it was the Ritz, and then they came in and took over once it was all done. And I still know the credo by heart.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't, because we were separate, so we were American Valet, so we weren't Ritz employees.
Okay, but you wore the Ritz, did you have uniforms and stuff, right? You would just use like the uniform room and get ready, and they'd have you all your, and that was a pain in the butt. I worked at the golf course up there. It was awesome, man. Lots of cool stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You meet, you know, at a hotel like that, and, you know, when they had the Accenture match play, meeting all the golfers as the valet, like literally opening the door for them, talking to them with their families as they're checking in, checking out. You know, that was a pretty cool experience, you know, celebrities, things like that. But, you know, just the people.
Yeah.
And getting to see all kinds of different people.
Yep. No, it's definitely a cool atmosphere. And pretty much if you're at the Ritz, you're doing something successful. So it teaches you to just have that, you know, ignorant respect. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to try to respect people. You're just doing it because, well, that's what should be done.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, we've been rocking out there in the landscaping world. Just trying to somehow get the week over, you know, and not over, but completed, mm-hmm. you know, without any lingering tasks. And, you know, that's like your, you know, the struggles are to that waiting game of, you know, well, when are they going to close, and that, you know, how long could it take? You know, my struggles are like, you know, making sure that we leave the house and that the customer is like, thank you so much later. And they're not like, you know, oh man, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that?
Yeah. You know, not calling you back.
You know. Yeah. You know, I can only stress so much. And, you know, the more I've learned is that, like, building relationships, right, with the customer, whether it's that quick relationship to where that you need, I need to make sure that they know that there is, if there's something that I've said we're going to do wasn't done, that they tell me.
Yeah.
Right. And if they can't be scared to tell me, or like, what, you know, have that delay, right? I need to build that trust in them that they could just call me, Josh, hey, I thought you were going to do this. You know, so the more weeks we can go without, hey, we're going to come on Monday, right? We want, the more times we could have like fresh starts on Monday, the more times we could have clean endings on Thursday.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is, especially in our world, is the initial meet with the client, and it can go so far, because you can do everything right and a transaction can fall apart. And so if you can build that relationship with the client from the beginning, setting expectations, letting them know that it could, you know, fall apart, there's things that happen, but that you're there to help them through that, so that no matter what comes up, you can reach out to you. So, especially in landscaping, you know, things come up, your vision, the way you see a clean yard versus the way somebody else sees it, it's probably different, right? A lot of people, you know, they look at magazines and online, they see that perfect yard, and their yard might not be able to look like that. But if you set that expectations in the beginning of, you know, what the end result's supposed to look like, I think that that can really knock out a lot of that, you know, back and forth between you and the client, but then also so that they're happy with what you give them.
Right. So. Do you have like a specific place where you'll send like clients to like give good, you know, recommendations? Do you like Facebook, obviously?
Yeah. Zillow's a big one. Zillow, I think, because you get a lot of people looking on Zillow, for homes. It's just kind of a natural, everybody knows Zillow. It's a place to go and look for homes. So we do a lot of reviews on there so that our profiles are a little bit higher. Facebook for me is a big one. And then just got started on like the Google, you know, business page stuff to start to send people that way, to have my own, you know, Facebook's a good one. A lot of people are on there. They do check you out. I mean, you know, employers look at people's Facebooks, you know, so, clients, you already know, do the same thing.
Yep.
And when they look up your name, I mean, if I'll be honest, when I get a client's name, sometimes I look them up on Facebook to see, you know, who I'm dealing with, right? Yeah. Or who I'm about to meet, or try to come into it knowing, you know, better myself. So I see on their page that they love a certain sport or something. I have something to talk to them about. Or
they
something.
Have three Maybe boys.
Have, yeah, they have three boys that I can drop those things that just kind of secure me as their agent to build those relationships. So, you know, if I'm looking up clients, they're definitely looking me up. So I try to make sure that business page is there, that people have reviews to go look at. But yeah, usually we send that out right after the transaction's closed. You know, that's when they're the happiest, you know, they finally got the keys.
That's awesome. So it's a numbers game. What are your goals this year?
Let's see. So last year, so my second year, I sold 56 homes.
Nice.
So this year, my goal is 72. So I'm going to step it up a little bit. But you know, on right now I'm on track for that.
That's awesome, man.
Keep doing that. So that's my goals, to help run the team, you know, to a certain point. There's certain, we call it A, B, and C players, you know, as employees, right? You got the A players that are always doing their thing, but typically those are the people that are going to move on, start their own landscaping company, become an independent agent, and things like that.
Right.
And then you have the B and C players that are on the team that are just always going to be on the team, right? They're happy with just kind of the even flow, and, you know, they're not going above and beyond to try to set those numbers and things like that. But, you know, my goal, you know, I could go on my own, but I kind of love running the team, managing. I kind of have more of that management, like the love for that.
Right.
So my goal is to just kind of stay on the team for now and help run that, grow the team. And
how many people are on your team right now?
Right now we have in total eight agents, and then we have about six admins.
Okay. Okay. So everybody's a buyer's agent.
And buyer and seller, yeah. We have both. We don't have, you can only be a buyer or only seller.
Yeah, you're working for both.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, what's better in your opinion, or what comes more often in your realm?
What comes more often is buyers, right? So you get a lot more people looking interested. They've never worked with a realtor before. So you get those leads a little bit easier.
Right.
Sellers, typically somebody helped them buy. However, most agents don't do a good job with follow-up, staying in touch. They didn't deliver good enough experience when they bought that people, if you, you know, if you look at surveys out there, most people, you know, when they're closing on the home would say they would use the agent again. If they were surveyed, you know, a year later, they wouldn't even know the person's name or know how to get a hold of them.
Right.
Because they don't stay in front of them after the transaction. They didn't do a good enough job where the person's like, wow, and then just remembers them.
Right.
So seller leads do come. And a lot of times it usually comes when somebody is inquiring about a house. You go out and show them. They're like, I'd love to buy this house, but I need to sell mine.
Right.
Oh, you know, so
good deal.
Two for one.
Yeah.
But, and then repeat clients. So clients that you help purchase, you know, only being in the business 2 years, right now I've sold one person's house that did buy, just work situation. They had to move. So ended up getting them out of the house, and luckily didn't have to, you know, didn't take a loss or anything, was able to get them out even. Which is a good thing when only a year, you know, But so I'm starting to get those referrals either from clients or the clients themselves.
Right. So it's like new realtors. It's pretty much you're looking for people wanting to buy houses.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what you're posting on yeah. Facebook for people to see. Oh, I should call him because I want to buy a house.
Yeah. Most of the time you're going to get buyer leads. Now you do have the people who, you know, big business, especially with new people, it's just cold calling is trying to get expired listings. So the listing expires, didn't sell. Everybody has public record to that. Of all those expired listings. And so you just get hammered with phone calls. And so you're just going after things that are already listed. So in the alarm world, what that was is going up to a house that already has an alarm sign and just switching them over, upgrading their equipment. You know, it's an easy sale because that person already knows they want an alarm.
Yeah.
You know, when I was selling door to door, most of the time I was knocking on a door. They had no idea they wanted an alarm that day until I convinced them they wanted an alarm. And so, with real estate, you know, they've already thought about selling their home. So now it's, you know, when it didn't quite sell. So how can you help them sell their home?
Right.
So those are a little bit easier targets there. But everybody's calling them. So you're not the only one. So those are a little bit harder. It's cold calling. You got to find them at the right time and do the right thing for them. But most of the time, the new leads that come in are buyers.
And where do you guys like have a lead source? Right.
Sure. Yeah. And we used to do Zillow. You can pay for Zillow advertising so that when somebody's looking on Zillow, you show up as a preferred agent. So when they click, I want to see more info about this house, it sends us their information.
Okay.
You don't do that anymore. We're on realtor.com. We do some Facebook advertising, word of mouth. You know, Kay runs a pretty tight ship and most of our business is referral business. You know, he really hardly ever works with any of the internet leads that we do. It's really all his business is referral business.
Right.
And that's where you need to get to sustain a real estate career is to just really, if you can just focus on your clients, create those relationships and that repeat business or their friends and family and their spheres, you don't need to pay for advertising.
Yeah, no doubt. So what's like a normal day for you? Like,
normal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the boys wake up early. So up early.
No alarm clock?
I do have an alarm clock.
I don't.
Tuesday,
man.
Thursday, I go play basketball super early, 5:30. Right.
There you go.
So I go play that before the boys get up. Usually I get home, they're already up. Get ready, take them to school, head to the office. We meet every day as a team. So we meet at 10. Just go over our days, anything we're struggling with, any buyers we're struggling with. Any listings we have coming up, because our goal is to, with listings, sell them before they hit the market, right? So we've got a team of 8 agents. I tell them I've got a central home, 3-2, it's going to be 200. Somebody on my team's like, I've got a buyer, they can't find anything. Like, I want to show it. You know, we're trying to sell within our team.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I have somebody looking east side, they can't find this, and I just saw one, right? I'm like, hey, go check out this house.
Right.
So we meet every day just to try to make sure, and one, it just, you know, holds you accountable to getting out there and working. So many times you see real estate agents work from home, things like that. Like, who's holding you accountable to making those phone calls, going to those appointments, holding open houses when you can say, I'll do it later. When you're in the office, you got people looking at you, holding you accountable. So most of the time I'll have some showings in the afternoon. You know, my evenings and weekends are pretty busy. You know, that's when people are off. I work when people are off.
Right.
You know, so as soon as they're off at 4, usually I have a couple of showings. Weekends, maybe I'll do an open house for a couple hours, do some showings. But my schedule's pretty all over the place.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Yeah.
There's times in the day when I'm just like, how is it only 12:45?
Sure.
You know, I'm like,
yeah.
I've been to Houghton and Sahuarita. I'm now on Ina and Oracle. I just left Catalina.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Why did it happen? Well, I know why, because I have bills.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
I can't be too picky on where I'm going.
Sure.
But man, I'll tell you one thing. With me, it's like, it's so crazy how sometimes I'll just be able to get like 4 or 5 jobs in the same neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's all just different. We always ask, you know, how did they hear about us, right? Like, I'm sure you do. How'd you hear about me? You know, people are like, we went on, you know, Home Advisor. You know, we have a bunch of good reviews on there. So they're like, yeah, we wanted to go with somebody with a bunch of good reviews. Or it's like, you know, we knew somebody that did work for us. Or, and they all live in the same zip code.
Sure.
Like today we were at, 4 properties. I'm pretty sure all their zip codes were 85749.
Yeah.
You know, and we spread like 35 tons of gravel.
Yeah.
And before that, I had a few guys going over to do like a monthly maintenance plan for a lady. It's like real quick, like 45 minutes. And then I went over and sprayed some like spurge growing in Bermuda grass that wasn't overseeded for an old member at 49er Country Club.
Sure.
Because that's what I did before the company. I was a superintendent out there. So it's, you know, I was doing like some golf, you know, in a sense type of deal. In fact, this morning when I was on my way to work, I had like, today was crazy, right? I'm sure you can agree, right? Like with whatever you got going on, but I was on my way to work and my old coworker, who was my assistant superintendent, was his title. And I thank God every time I think about having him as a person that worked with me at the golf course, because he was like there, showed up. But I just was thinking about him today, because as I'm like thinking about how I'm going to get this day done, I'm like, I got to drop these two people off. And then these people are going to go do the monthly maintenance. Gravel's being delivered at 7:30. We got to get there right at 8:30. Hopefully the guy with the Bobcat will be there at 8:30. And then hopefully my guys won't be too far behind. We all went through the fence at the same time.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, we all went through the fence at the same time. The guy is super happy. You know, we'll put some pictures on our Facebook tonight, because it was just an awesome little job to be able to knock it out and, like, you know, from 8:30 to like 1,
sure,
and just be done. And then we have one other gravel job that we're doing to complete that 35 tons. And
yeah,
we don't do that every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely one of those days where it's like, thank you.
Oh yeah. Some days it's just, you feel like every single buyer that you're working with right now wants to see a house at the same time. And you got to, you know, spread it out like, hey, can I go see it at 4? And you're like, yes. And then the next person's like, hey, I saw this house, can we go see it at 4? And you're like, how's 4:30?
Yeah.
You know, you're like trying to spread it out. And then you got days where you just like got nothing.
Does it ever work out for you? Like where you're like, bam, bam, like in the same neighborhood necessarily?
Sometimes it does. But, you know, and you try to group them as best you can.
Right.
But, you know, I've been in Sal Rita and had to go show a house in Saddlebrook.
Right.
And it's just... It in the same day,
darn,
you know. And so it's just like, here comes an hour drive, you know.
Yep.
And but thank God, you know, Tucson at an hour drive is the most that you're gonna do, you know. And that's one benefit of being a realtor here in Tucson. It's not big enough for you to specialize in an area, so
right,
you know, I can, as you said, you can't be picky with the people you work with, and you don't really need to be. You know, if I had to specify an area and then you're just waiting for people in that area, and, you know, it could be tough.
Yeah.
And to try to establish, you know, dominance in those areas. But if you can kind of spread out, there's more than enough business here in Tucson, you know, 1 million+ people here in Tucson.
Yep.
You know, there's no reason that, you know, as realtors, we can't work together, and we do all the time. So.
Oh, yeah. I know. I mean, the house that we bought, you know, was being sold by some dude on the sign. And then we just talked to my, you know, Tyler, right? We've been friends since like elementary school. We just called him. He's like, yeah, we could sell you that house. Yeah. I'm like, oh, good deal.
Yeah.
So it's like funny how the sign is just, all that means is that that person that owns the home probably bought the house from that person.
Sure.
Or they're friends with them.
Yeah.
And they're just giving them that opportunity because they're on their top of their list.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. They're in their sphere.
That makes sense. I, after this, I'm going over to Guild Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Mooney's having like a little grand opening
sweet
thing. So
yeah,
wore my Poppy Yard Solutions swag.
Hey, you got to always advertising.
I don't know if you are you aware of the open house show? Did you get it promoted or approached by those people that were in town?
I heard about it, but
yeah. So it's this show that comes on at 11 o'clock or 10 p.m. on Channel 11 on Saturday nights, and We bought the landscaping segments. We have a commercial that airs, you know, every week once, and my daughter's in it, and it's awesome. You know, we have like a little voices like Poppy does this, Poppy does that, Poppy does this, and we're promoting pop sockets. You know, we got a bunch of pop sockets, and we're just literally playing off of that Gettle thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a free flashlight. Right. So with Poppy Yard Solutions, new customers, we give our spray technicians and people on the crew pop sockets to give to the customers.
Perfect.
You know, and it's like we've had just people just so thankful, and like how awesome is that? You know, mm-hmm. like, and so this weekend also the people are coming in town, and we're actually filming a little segment for the show, and the show airs in 3 states.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
Few months ago we did it, and we did how to overseed a lawn. So we overseeded my lawn in December, which you should do it in like September or October.
Yeah.
And you know, so it has grass, but it's not like a flush fairway, sure, you know, but sure. it was a good experience, you know, to like see like if people are calling me in December, like, hey, I want to oversee my lawn. I can be like, well, take a look at this picture. Yeah. But well, my master plan is I took a picture of it already. I have some green paint. Yeah. It's like for fairways, like this is how you make unbelievably bull grass look even more unbelievable. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to paint it and I'm going to take pictures and then I'll have that for like, hey, we don't need to overseed. You could just do this.
Sure.
Right. And it lasts for like 3 months. Doesn't come off. It's totally biofriendly.
Yeah.
Just a cool little option. Like,
sure.
You know, like most landscapers maybe don't know how to get a hold of that product.
Sure.
You know, like, or want to spend $350 on the 5 gallon jug. Cause well, it's, doesn't make sense to buy a gallon jug.
Yeah.
Right when you should have five, you know, if you can. So,
I mean, that's a good thing. Most realtors who are listing a property, if they can list a property in the backyard and the grass is green.
Right. Yeah. We've done some work with a couple people where they're selling the house and I mentioned it to him just like I'm doing now. Right. Hint, hint. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
And literally like within a month, he's like, hey, we got this house. It has like the grass sucks. Can you come paint it? And I'm like, yeah. You know, it's going to be $150, right? It's not a gigantic lawn, 1,800 square feet or whatever. And, you know, he was there when I was doing it because he's interested. And he's like, damn.
Yeah, makes it look way better. Yeah.
This is amazing, you know. And so, no, it's just, you know, these always going back on what you learned. I'm sure you use stuff from the selling alarms every day.
Yeah.
You know, you have these go-to statements or phrases that are just the kill, but they're just totally acceptable by the customer, right?
Yeah.
Talking to people, right? Do you think that's like your master at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that in most sales jobs, learning the product and things like that is pretty simple, but the technique of relationships and working with people and being able to sell is above all. You could have a technical person who's really good at paperwork, who knows the real estate world, but if they can't talk to people and they're awkward with people, they're not gonna make it as a real estate agent. And we've seen some of those come and go on our team that just, you know, they work hard and they're out there and they're doing open houses and and we're sending them leads and it's just not translating. And you think, is it the leads we're sending them? Is it, you know, what is it? And it comes down to the personality. And just their ability to, you know, not awkwardly talk with people, and, you know, people that they don't know, you know, because it's completely different. You know, you go and shadow them from what they are in the office, from around the people that they know, to in somebody that they just meeting for the first time.
Right. It's like game time and it's like who shows up.
Yeah. And so for me, real estate, any sales job, landscaping, running your own business, you have to be personable and you have to build those relationships and be able to build that right away.
Right.
Find that common ground. I mean, we have common ground with everybody. So you just got to find it.
Do you, you've had like, you know, I'm going to say over, well, roughly 80 something customers will say in the past 2 years that have closed. Do you like, does the team or you individually send out like, you know, thank you cards or Christmas cards?
Yeah. So we do a couple of things. When we get you into contract. So right. When you are one of our clients, and get you into contract, we send a card and some brownies.
Nice.
And it's so funny. And when people close, we send stuff as well. And then on their birthdays. But it's so funny. You're helping these people, you know, buy the biggest purchase of their life, right? Buying a house. I mean, there's nothing really any bigger that they're going to buy.
Right.
And what excites them is the card and the, you know, box of brownies.
Yeah.
And they're like, just like, can't believe it, you know? And, so, you know, we do things like that, birthday cards, and, you know, I try to call them on their birthday and things like that.
That's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Seem like you're pretty, you know, pretty good with the family, you know, everything.
Sure.
You think that real estate was a good blessing for you for time with family, or is there?
Yeah, but yeah, definitely. I mean, there's times that, you know, I'm sure my wife would love me to be at home for dinner, you know, some of the nights because, kudos to her for being able to, you know, take care of two boys and do dinner and bath time and get them ready. And for me to just show up, you know, afterwards, but you know, it's not every night and it's not, 8 to 10, you know, sometimes it's 8 to 10 hours on a Saturday.
Right.
most of the time it's not. It's here and there, a couple showings.
Right.
I've got the mornings. You know, in the mornings I take the boys to school. She goes to work earlier than I do, so you know, I have that time with them.
That's like, and your every morning is like,
yeah. And if I need to tradition. Be off in the and during the day, you know, I have a little bit more flexible schedule. You know, yep. I can block off the time. I don't have to be sitting at the desk. I can go. If they're sick, I can be at home for most of the day.
Right.
You know, yep. Work from home and you know, not take appointments if I need to, and you know, block out that time. So I think it can be intense, you know, especially when you're getting started. But you know, first couple of years, it's going to take that. You got to take those appointments. You got to take that 5 o'clock appointment when they call you at 4:30.
Right.
You're already home. You got to go. You got to leave. You know, you got to take those weekends when you got those family events and stuff. And sometimes you got to miss them. But you know, in 5 years from now, I'm not going to have to take those appointments.
Right.
I'm going to be able to choose those and set my schedule. You know, but for now, you got to build it, and you got to take that extra job yeah. on a Friday by yourself yeah. or, yeah. you know, whatever it is. So it's definitely a blessing for
yeah.
sure.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I know, you know, I have probably, you know, 10 to 15 friends that are realtors, you know, and I just don't understand, you know, it's just so confusing to me, like, you know, how it's possible, you know, like a lot of people in Tucson try to be realtors.
Sure.
Right. It's not like unknown yeah. knowledge. There's yeah. a lot of people that have tried and it doesn't work out, right? Sure. Which is fine. To those that does work out, man, it's amazing.
Oh yeah.
Kudos to you, dude.
It definitely takes working it full time. You know, there's a lot of some part-time people can do it, and those are the people that are good at sales and just kind of comes naturally to them.
Right.
They've got other jobs and they can work it part-time. They've got a good sphere. But to truly be successful in real estate, you got to make it your career. You got to jump all the way in. We, you know, too many times we have new agents that come in that hold on to their night job or their weekend job.
Right.
And they try to do real estate during the day or like, as soon as I get going, then I'm going to switch. But they have that security of the other job and they're not like willing to make the jump, be scared, and which would, you know, typically leads to doing extra to make sure that you're all set.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's like, you know, go all in, right? Obviously. And, you know, when, how could you lose when you have no other, you know, you don't lose because you have no other option.
Sure. Right? I mean, the people that hold the other jobs, like, do I need to make the call? You know, yeah. I still have this paycheck coming in, or I got to go to work tonight. So, you know, it's
exactly, they don't have that mindset. So it's never going to be as amazing as someone that does have that mindset.
Sure. And that's okay.
You yeah, know,
and,
yeah, no
and
doubt.
Not everybody is going to crush it at everything. And that's why some people are built to do, you know, corporate jobs and not sales jobs and be out there. It's just for me sitting behind a desk all day. It's not for me.
Right.
So
when new agents come in, you guys have like a screening process throughout the team or does Kay choose?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely do interviews. We basically 99% of the time will not hire an experienced agent okay. to come on the team. It's just, you know, they've done it their way for years, and it's just, you
yeah.
know, you just got to hire somebody new, right? And because most people, when they're on their own, just joining a team, it's just not right for them. So most of the time, it's just new agents anyway. But we do trainings. We shadow them. We take them on appointments with us, with them shadowing us. And you know, we meet every day. We do trainings once a week. We bring in lenders, title people, just to train these people so that when they are out there in the field and a client says something or they run into a problem, they can remember at least us talking about it and know that they have a solution, and just try to guide them as best we can, keep them accountable.
Right. So like switching from people that want to be realtors or are realtors to customers, why do people want to buy from Scott Meldy? What's your
sell, right? That's a good question. So for me, I feel like my relationships with my clients are the best. You know, I feel like I create, instead of making friends clients, I make clients friends, and do the best I can. And I just know that I'm going to go out there and work harder than anybody else for them. I'm going to find them the deals. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to guide them through the process. I look at myself as more of a teacher. I try not to just, okay, you're going to buy a house, so let me do everything for you. I want them to understand what they're doing so that, you know, when we're looking at the different properties and they're going through the process, they completely understand it. So that to a certain extent, they wouldn't need me, you know, to buy another house or to buy the house that, right. but so that I can teach them. I just feel like that's the best way to do it, because at the end of the day, I could go and work on my own car and I could figure it out, but that's just not me. So I'm going to hire somebody that does it. Right. Yeah. But I'm not just going to also go to a shop and say, hey, just do whatever you think needs to be done and give me my car back when I'm, you know, don't even tell me.
Right.
You know, so, you know, you gotta understand what they're doing, you know, to a certain extent. But, you know, also just the work ethic that I have. This is my full-time career. I'm not a part-time agent. And I, you know, I've been here since I was 7. So, you know, I know this town. I've got a great sphere of people, landscapers,
right.
contractors, car salesmen, restaurant owners.
Right.
You know, whatever you need, you know, I've got somebody that's trusted that I can send over to you. I've got this.
You got a pest control guy?
I do.
Yeah, good. I was just making sure. Yeah. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I got pest control guy, roofer, you know, car guy, life insurance, you know, whatever you need, homeowner's insurance. So that's one of the benefits of working with us.
I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah, that guy, literally. And so, you know, when we have clients, we go above and beyond. They get in a contract, we help them get homeowner's insurance quote, you know. It's their job to go do it on their own, but they don't know what they're looking for.
Right.
And so we help them get competitive quotes. You know, we have trusted home inspectors, you know, pest control guys that are looking for termites and things like that, roofers, just everything that somebody would need, or electricians when they're looking at the home. If people need to look at different scenarios on a home, you know, we've got those people.
Right. So you're going to provide the value and also the ease of the process.
Yeah, the knowledge, just so they understand what they're doing.
That's good. Yeah, no, I try to do the same, man. You know, people are like, I don't want to say I'm trying to change the game, but I'm changing the game, Scott, right? A lot of the weed control companies, you know, they charge month to month, right? It's like, you know, this much a month or whatever. And I just feel that that's one of the silliest things that I could do for my vehicles.
Sure.
You know, like to be visiting a house once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've come up with, you know, again, creating that relationship to where, hey, we want to come out into your house and spray twice a year. Every 5 months, we'll contact you, right? So it's not the same months. It can be if the person's like, no, I want it to, we can do September and March, whatever. But we had a customer who, again, I'm trying to just share with them, I don't feel it's in our best benefit to come out every month. And I'm just being honest, right? I don't think it's best for us because it's just not good for you. And we can get the same done without coming out as many times. She says, nope, I want once a month. And I said, you know what? Okay. You know, we'll come out to your place once a month and we'll spot spray. But up front, we're going to do a cleanup. We're going to do like, we're going to pull the weeds and stuff. Then we're going to come about 2 weeks later once things start growing again, but they're really small, and spray. And it's going to be this amount. And then every month, that amount, we're going to divide that by 6. And that's what we're going to charge.
Sure.
You know, that's what the old company, that's what all the other companies do. And I said, then every 6 months, since we're just spot spraying to get rid of what's there, we're going to spray the full yard again for that full price again.
Sure.
So, you know, the lady lives right next to me. I was like feeling like I wanted to just help a person out.
Sure.
And I'm like, you know what? I'll do it. You know, but typically, that's a business that's almost unsustainable. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean,
how do you build a list of 5,000 people and visit them once a month?
Yeah.
Who's going to want to pay the bills on that?
Yeah. Yeah, no. And again, I mean, it's for you, you know, to be that guy that, you know, almost teaches them to not need you, you know, how they can, you know, maintain the yard, when to look at it, when to, you know, be spraying, this is what you can use. But because when you educate them, they don't want, at the end of the day, they don't want to do it.
Right.
And when you are the one telling them and you're teaching them how not to use you, they're going to call you.
Yeah.
Right. No, so when you're not the person holding the information, the secret sauce and the spray or whatever, and making it so they have to call you and you're only coming, you know, when the weeds come, you know, it's just, I think that, that's the business model. It's the relationship. They're going to want to call you.
Right. No, it's like, hey, we'll call you in 5 months, but do me a favor, please. Like, I'm begging you. If you see weeds, because you're going to be here every day, man. I'm not. Yeah. I'm at my house pulling my weed.
Yeah.
You know, my four or five weeds that come up a year.
Yeah.
I'm pulling them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to do that, you just call me. I'll come back and spot spray for free.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back on, you know, at our scheduled time and then do the paid service, right?
Sure.
There's this guy named Brad Lee, and I just like to like say it occasionally, like, because we don't have contracts, right? We're not trying to get you on a contract, right? And here's the quote is, have you ever heard of Bradley? He has a podcast, right? He's a pretty successful dude.
Sure.
It's all about, his business is all about like training systems, right? And pretty much it's like, if we don't deserve your business, then we don't want it, right? So like, if you don't want, we don't have any contracts, we're going to call you for recurring service. If you ever want to stop, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, let me know why. But that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll continue. Hopefully we can still be friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of realtors. I mean, it translates to the real estate world where the old school model is you have to sign this agreement before you get in my car and I show you houses that says I'm going to be your realtor.
Right.
And I don't do that. You know, some people may say that's the wrong thing to do, but you know, for me, it goes both ways. One, like they should be able to choose their agent. Two, I should be able to choose my clients. So if you're not working out for me, if I should be able to fire you.
Right.
And I shouldn't be held to this contract either. You know, the only time we make people sign those contracts is when they find the house they like and we're making an offer because it's just the state requires it. Our brokerage requires that form.
Right.
But I don't, you know, if I show people 20 houses and, you know, now it sucks, they stop at an open house and they go and buy that house, you know.
Right.
I did a bad job of not letting them know, you know, that I can help them out with that stuff. So for me, I feel like I do a good enough job in the beginning that no matter what, they're going to use me, especially if any house that I do show them. But I'm just going to do a good enough job. I don't need that contract that they're going to call me. They're going to want to use me. They're going to go buy an open house and then call me and say, hey, we saw this house. We really like it. Can you help us, you know, get it? So
it's a fine line, you know, when you're talking to people and you're trying to honestly give them like value or knowledge. And it's like, how do you not say that like too much, right? Like you want to give them enough to where when they go home and think of something that you probably could have said, you built that relationship to where like, hey, let's call Scott and see what he says.
Sure.
Or let's text Scott and see what the, you know.
Yeah, every client I leave, especially with the closing, I say, you call me no matter what. And again, you're going to buy a new car, you call me because I've got somebody who can help you out. And I want to be the guy that they call just to think about.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with the house, or if it does have to do with the house, but I'm not going to be, you know, making any money on it because they're just getting some maintenance on it, or they're upgrading it, or they're getting a landscaper.
Right.
You know, I want to be that go-to guy because when they do sell it, or when their friends talking about real estate, they're gonna think about my name,
right?
And they're gonna refer me without a doubt. And I just love to give as much information as I can and to be completely upfront with people. Like the only way I make money is to help you buy. I get paid at the end and I can help you with any house that's on the market.
Right.
If I don't say that in the beginning, a lot of people think you have to go with the person on the sign.
Right.
Or if you go to a new construction, you have to use the builder and the people sitting in that sales office. You don't. You can have your own representation on a new build. You can have somebody there that's to watch the contract, to negotiate in the beginning for you, that it's not just what they tell you on their base pricing and all the upgrades. You can negotiate, and somebody who's there to watch your best interest on the contract, to help you with inspections, to know what to look for. And most people don't know that.
You
stop in an open house, I can still help you. You know, any listing that's on the market, you know, I can help them buy.
Yep. It's just, that's like the most important thing that you could tell a prospective client, I would imagine.
Just tell them what you do. I mean, especially with you. I mean, pavers, like most landscapers don't do pavers, you know, all the extra stuff. And if you don't tell people that, they're going to have you come chop down the weeds. And then the next time you come to spot spray, you're going to see somebody installing pavers.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, I could have been doing that job.
Yeah.
And they had no idea that's what you do.
Right.
And when in the alarm business, you know, everybody thinks it's just security, right? You know, security, maybe cameras, but most people didn't know we did cameras. Most people didn't know we did home automation, door locks, thermostats, all that. And if you don't mention it, they're not going to call you for that stuff.
Right.
And so just telling everybody what you do every time you get a chance to meet them, and this is the only way you're going to grow your business.
Yep. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. And, you know, when you get that blunt of calls, you know, that just hits you, it's game time, you know, and then you got to really somehow man up or woman up and make those calls and set those appointments and hold yourself accountable to.
And it's not that old saying, fake it till you make it. You know, I'm completely, especially in the beginning, you know, I was brand new. So I was not going to have the answer to everything, but I wasn't going to try to hide it.
Right.
And so one of the things, you know, I used to joke with people, especially in the first couple of months, you know, how long have you been doing this? Oh, less than a year. Even though it's like 1 month, that's still true, right? Less than a year, but they didn't know I was fresh. But I would tell them, you know, I'm new, but if I don't know the answer, I'm going to go get it. I'm on a team. I've got people who can find it for me.
Right.
I'm out here working, you know, really hard, and I'll find the answer for you. If I don't know it instantly, you know, every house is different. You know, even, you know, Kay, who's been in the business 10 plus years now, I mean, he's not going to know the answer to everything.
Right.
There's things are changing with real estate from the time he started to when I started. Rules, regulations, all that. It's always changing. To know it completely, somebody would be lying if they said they did.
Yeah.
So
it's cool, Scott. You're a cool dude, man.
I appreciate it.
I can't believe we've never run into each other, you know, like in the past 10 years or so.
Sure.
You
know? I know. Tucson is a small town.
It's a small town, man. I'm glad we met, and you know, thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You bet, man. So hey, where can people find you at? What's your Facebook and
Sure, my tagline is...
Tell us that marketing, man.
Yeah, so my tagline is That Real Estate Guy. Not too hard to find me, but if you go look it up, Instagram, Facebook, / That Real Estate Guy AZ, and you can find me, you know, see what I'm doing every day on Instagram stories and see some of the houses, some of the people I'm helping in their stories, because a lot of times posting that, it clicks. You know, I help a first-time home buyer who had this situation, and I post about it, and somebody's watching and says, that's me. You know, and so that's why I try to just be educational. I'm not a salesy marketing. You know, when you see these people that are just constantly selling their friends, like buy this, buy this, buy this. Are you going to buy a house? Are you going to buy a house? Call me, call me, call me. It's just the information. It's just, for me, it's just an information dump of, you know, what I know to help people out there, because they're just going to call me because they know I'm the one who knows the answer.
Right. That's cool, man. Yeah. I mean, it stuck with me, the real estate guy. We'll make your yard pop.
Yeah. Hey. You know?
We'll make that real estate guy's yard pop. No. Yeah. Thanks for listening. You know, thanks for coming on today, man. I really appreciate it. You can find me at Poppy Yards at Facebook and Instagram. And our website is poppyyards.com. We got a bunch of cool photos, and, you know, we definitely love to hear feedback in any way, negative, positive. We can definitely learn and grow from all of it.
Sure.
So thanks a lot.
Always here to help.
Way to end the episode.
Let's go.
Later, man.
See ya.